Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is the story about the Columbia River lightship that actually had to go cross-country to reach the sea again. Torn loose from its anchors in a storm, the lightship stranded high and dry on the beach near Seaside. Salvage companies labored mightily to refloat it, but to no avail, until a house-moving contractor had an innovative idea. This story was first published on December 12, 2009. Here we go. You've probably heard about the Columbia River Bar. The river puts an enormous volume of fresh water out to sea, and when the tide is coming in, the seawater coming in fights with the water going out in some spectacular ways, especially when there's a storm. And there's often a storm. Some of the ugliest weather in the state happens right offshore there at Tillamook Head, where there are plenty of big ship-eating rocks to boot. After 1881, a lighthouse was stationed on the largest of these rocks. It's known as Terrible Tilly. Its beacon lit up the sea with the burning of 170 gallons of kerosene every month, all of it lugged up the steps to the light in cans by the lighthouse staff. Still, the ships kept right on sinking, so in 1892 the Coast Guard actually parked a lightship, a 123-foot floating lighthouse, an unusually solidly built ship with no engine, equipped with three enormous anchors in the entrance to the river. This was Columbia Lightship Number 50. Now, this helped a lot, although Coast Guard people dreaded being assigned to it. Certainly, it was a bad deployment for anyone troubled by seasickness. A 123-foot ship sounds big and probably looks pretty vast in harbor, but anchored 5 miles west of the mouth of one of the world's biggest river, on the edge of the world's biggest ocean, it probably felt like a Chris-craft. Well, one day in 1899, an unusually powerful storm snapped all three anchor cables, and Number 50 was on its way. The crew scrambled to set sails under the worst conditions imaginable and managed to keep the ship offshore while a tow was arranged. But the sea was too rough to do it. After several attempts with the crew exhausted, Number 50 was simply intentionally beached near Mackenzie Head, just south of the mouth of the river. Every member of the crew was rescued, of course, but what about the ship? Well, most ships washed up on the Oregon coast at this time were simply pounded to pieces by the surf. No effort was even made to get them off. But the Number 50 had been built specifically to be pounded and was showing no signs of breaking up. When the weather improved, the Coast Guard started trying to tow it back out to sea. But the ocean had deposited beach sand around it, and it was going nowhere. 14 months later, the Coast Guard gave up, declared it a salvage job, and put it out for bids. Well, the winning bidder turned out to be a house-moving outfit out of Portland, Allen & Roberts Company. This intrepid contractor had an elegant and counterintuitive plan. Instead of a frontal attack on the pounding surf trying to shove the ship out into the ocean again, crews set it in a cradle on a specially built railway and, using a block and tackle, hauled it due east, away from the sea, straight up the shore and into a forest through which a path had been cleared. The ship was making overland for the Columbia River. A formation in its banks called Baker Bay was just 700 yards from the beach where it was stranded. There, the ship could peacefully be pushed out into the water without fighting the pounding surf. Then, all repairs made, it could wait tranquilly there, protected from the fury of the open sea, until the time was right to tow it back out into place once again. Which is exactly what happened. It cost $17,500 to do it, and another $12,135 for repairs, and the lightship was back on duty by the end of the 1901 summer season. Number 50 served just 8 more years before being replaced by a newer ship and was sold at auction for $1,667.99 in 1915. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.